Flint, Michigan. How did a simple flip of a switch lead to a long-term public health crisis that tested the resilience of its residents? In this Science of Crime podcast series, we examine the chain of events that led to years of damage, distrust, and dirty water. My name is Tommy, and this is episode number 2, The Chemistry Behind Flint's Water Problems. In this episode, I'm going to talk about how lead got into the drinking water and how water treatment facilities are supposed to treat the water. Before going into the chemistry of everything, I want to talk about the history of lead piping and why we've used lead piping for hundreds of years. One of the earliest civilizations we knew to have used lead piping for their water are the ancient Romans. The Romans first started to get their lead when they were silver mining and got lead in the form of lead sulfide as a byproduct, and then they would refine it down to lead metal alone. Lead is malleable and has a low boiling point, which makes it perfect for making water pipes in the ancient world. One really important factor for lead piping is that it doesn't break open and make small holes for waters to leak out of. This is a major factor when making pipes because the pipes don't always sit still in the ground, so having material that is solid enough to hold the water without breaking, but is also malleable enough to be bent in specific shapes, seems perfect. That's actually why we use lead pipings in the modern day. When houses are built, they tend to settle in the ground in the weeks and months after they're finished. So having a pipe that will follow the house as it settles while also not breaking or leaking is really helpful. While on paper, lead may seem like the perfect material to make our pipes out of, we soon learn that the lead seeped into our water and that lead isn't exactly good for us. You'll hear how lead is bad for you in a later episode of the series, but for now, we're more concerned about how lead even gets into the water, because the effects only matter if the lead gets into your body, right? To learn the chemistry behind how lead leaks into water, I talked to Dr. Whitney King, who is a professor at Colby College. He has a PhD in chemical oceanography with expertise in water pollution, environmental chemistry, and traces of metals in seawater. I went to him to learn what he knew of Flint water crisis and to see if he could explain how lead got into the water.
And so what the lead's doing is it's lead zero, and it's going to lead two plus, and it's reacting with oxygen, which just has to be in the water. Mm. And so now what happens is you had high concentrations of lead where the water was not being used extensively. The more water you use, the less lead you would have. So if you were running lots and lots of showers and lots of toilets, probably didn't have a problem. But if you were running just a small amount of water and using it to make up baby formula, like the worst case scenario, because there's the lead pipe's only so big, right? So yeah. The contact time matters.
Okay?
Because you're doing a chemical reaction over time. All right, so now what happens is the lead tube now goes into the water, but it's the last 50 feet of the run.
Professor King quickly ran through the chemical reaction of it, but he speaks to the important points of it. He mentioned that lead zero goes to lead two plus. What he didn't mention is that lead zero is a solid. That means it doesn't dissolve in water, but lead two plus is aqueous, which means that it does dissolve in water. This reaction that causes the lead to go from lead solid to lead aqueous is called an oxidation reaction because the lead loses two electrons to its surroundings. Something interesting is that the lead actually does not discolor the water. In fact, you would not be able to really tell whether or not your water had lead in it with your bare eyes. The reddish-brown color that is often associated with Flint's water is actually the rust from the pipes. The iron that also makes up the pipes is undergoing a similar reaction to the reaction that the lead undergoes, and that is actually where the reddish-brown color comes from. The chemistry behind lead seeping into the water is super simple and really easy to understand. What's a little less simple is how the water is supposed to be treated. So obviously we don't want lead to get in our water. The question then is, how do we stop the lead from seeping into our water? Well, it's done by another chemical reaction. In the interview, Professor King gave me a great explanation for the process.
If it was managed well, it didn't create a lot of lead because the lead phosphate is insoluble. And they would put phosphate in the water as a corrosion inhibitor, and lead phosphate is insoluble because phosphates tend to be formed insoluble salts. And that created a passivation layer. So that was the good news.
And that would like cover the outer of the, or I guess the inner of
the inner of the lead.
The pipe. So right. The water couldn't react with the lead, I guess.
Right. Well, and it always had phosphate in it. So that's what we call a common ion. Mm. So we kept forcing it. So there was always lead at the surface, but it was bound by phosphorus.
To break down what Professor King said, water treatment facilities should add common ions, like phosphate, to bind to the lead 2 plus ions in the water. So first, the lead needs to actually undergo the oxidation reaction where it becomes aqueous. But before it comes into your home, it reacts with the phosphate to create what Professor King referred to as a passivation layer. This layer essentially then builds up on the insides of the pipe and denies the lead in the pipes from undergoing oxidation reactions again. To put it simply, the lead reacts with phosphate to build a wall that prevents the lead from reacting with anything in the future. So now you're probably wondering, where did Flint go wrong? Well, Flint didn't add that phosphate. At the time that Flint switched their water from Detroit's water to water from the Flint River, their water treatment plant was not up to date. They were not well funded enough, nor were they prepared for the shift. By not adding the phosphate or any common ions, no passivation layer formed to stop the lead from seeping into the water that goes into people's homes. This was so bad that there's an estimated 36 micrograms of lead per liter of water, which is more than twice the amount approved by the EPA. The other thing that Flint really messed up was not measuring the pH of the water that went through the pipes. Flint's water had an abnormally low pH, which means that the lead was more acidic. This is important because a lower pH means that there are more H+ ions in the water. These H+ ions can react with phosphate to form hydrogen phosphate. This means that any naturally occurring phosphate or common ions in the water were being eaten up by the H+ ions, making it even harder for any passivation layer to form. It's really important to recognize something. This process of adding phosphate and measuring the pH, it's not a difficult process or unusual.
If you're a water treatment company and you aren't monitoring pH, which they didn't, but you should. So again, gross incompetence.
Truly.
If you, so you should be filtering that water, typically through a sand filter and then through an aluminum filter. And then you should be adding in enough bicarbonate to buffer the solution to around 7. And then you should be adding in phosphate as a corrosion inhibitor, and all of that should be done in your plant before it ever leaves your plant. And then you should be monitoring all of that chemistry downstream at well-defined monitoring points.
The disaster in Flint isn't something that happened out of bad luck. As Professor King puts it, it was gross incompetence. So many people suffered, and still are suffering, because the government was trying to save money and ignored red flags all the way until it was too late. Looking into this, it makes me question the US's water infrastructure. According to environmental engineer Haizao Liu, the American water infrastructure is outdated, and the Flint crisis really shows this. The catastrophe in Flint also reveals that really anywhere can be hit with an extremely deadly crisis at any minute. I recommend you do some research to find out what your pipes are made of. If they are made of lead, there are ways to manage, such as buying a water filter from a company called Hydroviv that was made by Kobe alumni in response to Flint crisis and install it in your home. If you can't afford a filter, then run water in your house every morning and try to only drink or brush your teeth with cold water. This has been Tommy on the chemistry behind Flint's water problems. Stay safe and healthy in these crazy times, and check your pipelines to make sure you or your children aren't unknowingly drinking lead.